Chapter 8. At the end of another long day, after Uncle Jake dashed off for a late dinner with Briar Rose, Granny suggested everyone else get some sleep. She was sure tomorrow would be a big day in Mr. Canis's trial, perhaps even the day their old friend would be freed. The girls and Puck said goodnight to Granny and Elvis and climbed the steps to their bedrooms. The girls said goodnight to Puck at their door. He grunted and kept walking down the hall. Unfortunately, Sabrina was dragged along with him. "Oh, I forgot about you," Puck said, eyeing the handcuffs. "What are we supposed to do, fairy boy?" Sabrina cried. "We're not sleeping in the same bed." "Who cares about that? I'm going to have to go to the bathroom eventually," Puck mumbled.
"He could sleep on the floor in our room," Daphne said.
"I'm not sleeping on the floor. I'm royalty," Puck declared as he puffed up his chest. "Sabrina can sleep there."
"That's not going to happen," Sabrina said.
Puck huffed and frowned. "Fine, come with me." He led the girls down the hallway to his bedroom. The door was covered in signs. "Death awaits all who enter here," and "Warning, falling rocks." There was also a picture of a kitten with the words, "Cuteness will not be spared." Puck pushed open the door and impatiently ushered them inside. Sabrina had been in Puck's room before, but it never ceased to amaze her. It wasn't like any bedroom she had ever seen. The night sky was the roof, the forest ground the floor, and a trickling brook led to a lagoon in the distance. The chirping of crickets and the rustle of woodland animals drifted across the air like a lullaby. The room was magical, and from what Sabrina could tell, endless. Who knew how far the water rolled downstream? If you followed it, would you find an ocean at its end? Sabrina didn't know, though she wondered about it from time to time. Puck dragged the girls down to where the room's serene beauty came to a dismaying end. There they found a path littered with broken army men and parts from old skateboards and microwaves. Sabrina nearly stepped into dozens of half-eaten birthday cakes. They climbed up an embankment where they found a trampoline. A panda bear was sound asleep on its surface. Puck shooed it away. It staggered off looking for somewhere else to sleep, barking and growling grumpily with each step. Puck helped Daphne onto the trampoline, then Sabrina, and together the girls pulled him up behind them.
"I love it," Daphne said, jumping up and down and bouncing like a ball.
"Good to know," Puck grumbled. "My only concern is making sure the two of you are comfortable. Now go to sleep and leave me alone."
Puck lay down, forcing Sabrina to do the same. She nudged as far away from him as possible, feeling entirely uncomfortable. Daphne nestled between them, her head at the tips of their fingers. The handcuffs forced them to sleep on their backs. It was hard to get comfortable, and each time Sabrina drifted to sleep, she felt Puck's hand drag her hand this way and that. Eventually, she decided that despite her best efforts, sleeping was out of the question. Instead, she settled on resting. She closed her eyes and lay still, listening to the bubbling water in the distance.
"You awake?" Puck asked.
"Yes," Sabrina said. Their voices seemed loud in the open air.
"When are you going to tell her what you did?"
Sabrina bristled.
"Maybe you should mind your own business."
Puck laughed.
"As if I could around this place. Every time I turn around, the two of you are facing down death. Monsters, robots, dragons. Saving your butts is a full-time job."
His tone made her angrier.
"Then why don't you go back to being a villain? I liked you a lot better when you weren't trying to save us."
"I'll go back to being a villain, if you go back to the way you were," Puck said.
"And how was I, Mr. Smarty Pants?"
"For one, you were honest," Puck said. The words were like a smack in the face, and her cheeks grew hot. Who was he to tell her how to be a good person? Wasn't his name the Trickster King? He'd been treating people like chumps for 4,000 years.
"You're one to talk," Puck chuckled. I am a lot of things, Sabrina. Mischievous, mean-spirited, gassy. But they don't make me a bad person. They make me immature. You, however, are skating very close to the line. You stole from someone who trusted you, and then you lied about it.
Sabrina wanted to get up and storm away, but she knew the handcuffs wouldn't let her. She was forced to hear his sermon about good and bad, no matter how ridiculous it sounded.
I did what I had to do. Daphne would never have gone to get the weapon. Mr. Canis could eat Granny, Elvis, and half of Ferryport Landing, and she would still totally trust him. I'm the only one that sees what he's becoming.
Who's arguing with you about that? It's obvious to most of us that Furface is in trouble. I won't even say you're wrong about wanting to do something about it.
Then what's the lecture for?
The lecture's because the way you are going about these things kinda stinks. It's all nice and noble of you to want to do the right thing, even if I do think it's stupid. But if the only way to make something good happen is to do something bad, then maybe it's not worth it.
Sabrina looked off into the dark forest, not wanting to see Puck's face.
But what do I know? I'm not supposed to be a good person.
But you are. You're Sabrina Grimm, and your sister worships you. You're supposed to be a good role model to her. Don't you think it's kind of odd that the Prince of Juvenile Delinquents is teaching you right from wrong?
Sabrina mulled over Puck's words as she lay in the dark. She wondered if he might not be right. She knew she had betrayed her sister. But at the same time, she realized that she didn't really care about Daphne's opinion. She had been in charge of the two of them ever since their parents disappeared, and things had worked out just fine. If she had let Daphne vote on their futures, the two of them would be in a heap of trouble.
By the way, Puck said softly.
It had been an hour since he had last spoken, and she was startled to hear him still awake.
You don't need the makeup.
Sabrina felt like her face was on fire. He knew about her late-night beauty sessions, and, if she had heard him correctly, he was also admitting that he thought she was pretty. She looked over at him and found he was looking at her.
I kind of wish I hadn't said that, he said.
Me too, she replied.
Would it help if I said you were a stinky, muck-covered toad face?
Sabrina nodded and edged as far away as she could on the trampoline. Puck did the same.
Hello!
Uncle Jake's voice echoed from near the lagoon.
We're here!
Sabrina shouted as she sat up, taking Puck with her. Together, they shook Daphne awake.
Come on! I found our mysterious Goldilocks again! She's in Paris!
When the children followed their uncle into Mirror's room, they found Briar Rose sitting on the bed next to their sleeping parents. She barely had time to say hello before an excited Jake flew into an explanation of why he had woken them.
As you know, Goldilocks hopped on a flight out of Venice as quickly as possible, Uncle Jake said as he stood before the mirror. Behind him, the children could see images of Paris. Sabrina marveled at its majestic architecture. The city seemed to be a combination of timeless beauty and modern design.
Whoever that man on the motorcycle was, she's obviously frightened of him. Luckily, we don't have to go to all the trouble of tracking her down again. Mirror showed me an exact address.
She's checked into a place called the Hotel Therese.
Then we don't have to go back to the library with that book-tossing idiot? Puck said, as he began to scratch himself at the memory.
Not at all. We can go straight to her,
Uncle Jake said.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Sabrina asked, as she stepped toward the traveler's chest.
When I said we, I didn't mean you, Uncle Jake said.
What? Why?
Sabrina asked.
You happen to be handcuffed to an Ever After, and as we know, Ever Afters can't leave the town. You're going to have to stay here with Puck and Briar, Uncle Jake explained.
Sabrina could have strangled the fairy boy, especially when he smirked at her.
But I can go?
Daphne asked.
Uncle Jake nodded.
Yes, but you'll have to stay close to me. It could be dangerous.
He reached into his pocket and handed the little girl a key.
You want to give it a whirl this time?
Daphne looked at it like it was a precious jewel. She repeated the address Uncle Jake told her, then inserted the key. When she turned it, the lid opened, revealing a spiral staircase.
I'm so jealous, Briar said. I haven't been to Paris in hundreds of years.
We'll bring you back a souvenir, Daphne said.
Uncle Jake took his girlfriend by the hand.
If I could take you with me.
Briar kissed him on the cheek.
Don't talk to any French girls.
Uncle Jake winked at Briar, then turned to Daphne.
Let's scoot.
Sabrina was livid but forced a smile to her face.
Be careful, she told her sister. I'll be fine,
the little girl said impatiently and rolled her eyes. A moment later, she and Uncle Jake were gone.
He said we could watch them from the magic mirror, Briar said.
Mirror's face appeared in the reflection.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. What can I show you this evening?
We want to watch Uncle Jake and Daphne in Paris, Sabrina said.
Coming right up, Mirror replied. Just say the magic words.
Mirror, mirror, for goodness sake, let me watch Daphne and Uncle Jake.
Mirror smiled.
That's more like it.
His face dissolved, and the mirror's surface revealed a narrow avenue lined with elegant apartment buildings. Each building had a smoky bar, or a cozy restaurant, or a little boutique on its ground level. People were spilling out of all of them, drinking wine and gazing to the heavens. High above, fireworks filled the sky. Streams of blues, greens, reds, and whites shot across the horizon, then fizzled before the next round. In the distance, an enormous steel tower hovered above it all. It was illuminated by thousands of little lights, and at its top, a beacon flashed a brilliant spotlight 360 degrees. Sabrina turned to Briar to gauge her reaction. The woman was awestruck.
That's the Eiffel Tower, she said. It's amazing.
Sabrina suddenly realized what Briar must feel. She had been trapped for more than 200 years in a little town. Now, all at once, she could see the outside world so vividly, it seemed real. Paris was a place, Sabrina suspected, Briar never expected to see again. Uncle Jake and Daphne stepped out of a doorway and gaped at their surroundings. They stood still for a moment in awe of the city.
There she is, Briar said,
pointing at a woman walking down the street. Sabrina searched the crowd. It was indeed Goldilocks, their elusive savior. She was grinning from ear to ear, obviously enjoying the sights and sounds of the City of Lights.
She's there, Jake, Briar cried.
Sorry, he can't hear you, Sabrina said. It doesn't work like that.
How frustrating, Briar complained.
Luckily, Uncle Jake seemed to spot Goldilocks as well, and they watched him and Daphne follow the woman down the street.
I'm not sure how she's going to react, Puck said. If they asked me to come back here, I don't think I would. They'd have to stuff me in a sack and drag me back against my will.
Sabrina was unnerved by Puck's words. She had never once thought that Goldilocks might not want to come back to Fairyport Landing. But the more it spun around in her head, the more troubling the idea became. Why would she want to come back? The town was controlled by the Scarlet Hand. She would be trapped inside the barrier again. Her true love was married with children, and from a letter of Goldilocks's that Sabrina had read, the woman seemed to believe she was responsible for the death of their grandfather, Basil Grimm. If the roles were switched, would Sabrina return? She realized the answer was no. An army couldn't drag her back to this horrible little place. What would they do if Goldilocks refused? Just then, a black motorcycle tore down the street. The hair on the back of Sabrina's neck stood on end. The driver was the same man they had seen in Venice, the same man who was terrorizing Goldilocks.
What's going on? Who's that?
Briar asked.
That dude in black is following her everywhere, Sabrina explained. He's one of the Scarlet Hand.
Sabrina watched her sister and uncle bolt down the street, weaving in and out of pedestrians and knocking a waiter carrying coffee cups to the ground. Sabrina shouted for them to be careful, knowing full well they couldn't hear her. Still, it made her feel better to try.
Goldilocks spun around in the street. She must have spotted the motorcyclist because she quickly hailed a taxicab and got inside. Moments later, she and the cab were roaring away.
If we were there, we could track her by air, Puck said.
Sabrina nodded. She should be there, helping her sister, making sure she was safe. She felt an incredible anxiety rip through her. She realized that this was the first time she and Daphne had been separated in a very long time. Daphne could be injured. This lunatic on the motorcycle might hurt her. Anything could happen.
Briar seemed to sense her fear. She reached out and squeezed Sabrina's hand.
They'll be fine, Sabrina.
Sabrina nodded and watched Daphne and Uncle Jake jump into their own taxi in hot pursuit. With the image focused on her family, Sabrina couldn't see Goldilocks, but she saw the motorcycle race past their cab. She watched Daphne roll down the window and crane her neck out to see where he was headed. When the cab made a sudden turn, she nearly fell out, and Sabrina screamed.
That was a close one!
Puck laughed, but stopped when both Sabrina and Briar flashed him an angry look.
What? It was funny!
Suddenly, like water flowing from a broken dam, a herd of stray dogs poured out of every alley and doorway. There were Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Doberman Pinschers, Pit Bulls, Wolfhounds, Beagles, Poodles, Golden Retrievers, Shih Tzus, West Highland White Terriers, and dozens more in hot pursuit. They barked and snapped at the black-clad rider's feet, causing him to swerve all over the road.
She's called some friends, Sabrina said.
She can talk to animals? Puck said. That rules!
The dogs gave the rider as much trouble as they could, but his bike was faster than all of them. Soon they were left behind, causing traffic to back up all over Paris. Luckily, Uncle Jake and Daphne's cab was undeterred, and their driver raced on, steering the car into a circular street called Place Charles de Gaulle. At its center was an elegant arch decorated with statues and finely carved reliefs. Cars whipped around the circle from all directions. Without any traffic lights or signs, the circle was pure chaos, and there were several times Sabrina was sure her family would die in a head-on collision. But the driver was quick, and he steered the car out of traffic at the last possible second and darted down a tree-lined road bordering a park.
Where do you think she's going? Sabrina wondered aloud.
Exactly where I'd go, Briar said, pointing at the approaching metal tower rising like a giant on the Parisian horizon, the Eiffel Tower.
The tower was an incredible work of engineering made from huge steel girders and stood more than 1,000 feet tall. It was quite a bit bigger than Sabrina had imagined, and she suddenly felt envious of her sister for seeing it in person without her. Sabrina watched Uncle Jake and Daphne's cab come to a stop. They paid the driver and leaped out just in time to watch Goldilocks dashing toward the entrance to the tower.
Why would she go up there? Briar said.
There's no way off that thing once she gets to the top.
She's probably going to pull the talking animal stunt again. When we tracked her down in Venice, she had a bunch of pigeons fly her to safety. I bet she wants Motorcycle Boy to follow her up there so she can do the same thing. It would be a great way to lose him.
Except I doubt it will work. The wind has to be crazy powerful up there, Puck said. I don't think my wings could take it. I doubt a bird could do it either.
Sabrina gasped. So there's no way off that thing if he catches her?
Puck shook his head.
Not unless your uncle and sister can rescue her from that lunatic.
Speak of the devil, Briar said, as they watched the deadly motorcyclist skid to a stop nearby.
He leaped off his bike and pulled a silver dagger from his boot. Then he raced through the entrance to the tower. Sabrina saw Daphne pointing at the motorcycle.
Without a word, she dashed through the entrance to the tower. Uncle Jake tossed the entrance fee to a clerk, and he and Daphne hurried into an elevator just as it was about to shut. Sabrina scanned the tightly packed crowd around them. The man in black wasn't there, but neither was Goldilocks. She imagined the poor woman standing at the top, backing away from the dark rider with his deadly blade. She tried to force the vision out of her head. They would get there in time. They had to. They reached the first of the tower's three platforms and tumbled out of the elevator. Daphne pointed at a sign leading to the elevator that would take them to the next level. She and Uncle Jake pushed through the crowd and made their way onto the next elevator. Soon they were rising even higher above the Paris skyline. The second level was much higher, and a few people lost their hats in the strong wind. Puck had been right. Nature's forces were brutal at that height, and it wasn't even the top of the tower. "Look!" Puck cried as the mirror's reflection showed the murderous motorcyclist entering the final elevator. Sabrina could almost hear the chaos when he pulled out his dagger and demanded that everyone get off. People nearly trampled one another to get away from the madman. She watched him push a button and the doors closed, just as her sister and uncle approached. The two Grimms could only stare as the elevator rose to the top of the tower where Goldilocks had fled. Sabrina watched the rising elevator. It disappeared from view for several moments. The ascent to the top would take a long time. By the time it came back down, who knew what the villain might have accomplished? It wasn't fair. Somebody had to stop him. "There will be another one," Briar said to Sabrina. "Don't worry." But she was wrong. Suddenly, the elevator came crashing down from above. People were screaming and smoke filled the air. "Daphne! Uncle Jake!" Sabrina cried frantically, but quickly spotted them. Daphne had fallen, but Uncle Jake helped her up. Together they studied the wreckage. The man in black had somehow cut the cables. "He's diabolical," Briar said. "And not in the good way," Puck replied. "There's no way up to the top," Sabrina said. "They'll never get to her in time. Goldilocks is up there alone. He's going to kill her." "If only I could go," Briar said, reaching into her pocket and removing a small seed. "With one of these, I could get Jacob to the top in a flash." "I'm glad you are so excited about gardening, Briar, but we've got an emergency on our hands," Sabrina said. "No, let me explain. When I was a kid, a witch put a spell on me that said if I ever pricked my finger on a spinning wheel, I would die. Well, luckily, I had a couple of fairy godmothers, and they fixed the spell so I would fall asleep. To keep me safe from wild animals and nutcases, they also created a magical rose bush that covered the castle so no one could get at me. When William Charming managed to cut his way through and woke me up, the first thing I did was cultivate some of the rose bush's seeds. The seeds grow like crazy, and they seem to understand how I want them to grow, too. They come in handy from time to time. All you need is a handful of dirt."
"I have a handful of dirt," Puck said, reaching into his filthy pants pocket. When he pulled out his fist, he had a handful of crumbly soil. A fat earthworm was squiggling in the dirt.
"You carry dirt with you?" Sabrina asked.
"Sure. Doesn't everyone?" Puck replied.
"What good is this going to do? We're in Fairyport Landing. The trouble is half a world away. Unless I can get out of these handcuffs, Goldilocks is going to die."
Briar and Sabrina turned their gaze to Puck.
"Listen, I swallowed the key," he stammered. "We have to let nature take its course."
Disgusted, Sabrina turned to the mirror.
"Mirror, do we have any lock-picking stuff in the Hall of Wonders?"
Mirror's face appeared.
"Starfish, I'm increasingly concerned about your life of crime."
"Mirror, it's an emergency!"
Sabrina handed him her set of keys, and moments later he returned with a small leather case. Inside were the kind of tools Sabrina had only dreamed about when she and her sister were wards of the state. There were picks of all shapes and sizes, and she tried each one until the handcuffs snapped open.
Free, she rubbed her sore wrist and turned to Briar.
"Maybe we should wake your grandmother,"
Briar said, as she hesitantly handed over her magic seed.
"No time," Sabrina said,
and turned to Puck.
"Hand over the dirt."
Puck did as he was told, and Sabrina approached the traveler's chest. She knew if she walked down the steps now, she'd wind up outside of the Hotel Therese, far from where she needed to be. So she closed the lid and removed the key.
"I want to go to the second floor observation deck of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France," she said aloud.
Then she inserted the key and opened the lid. Inside, she found a completely different set of stairs.
"Be careful," Briar said,
"and tell your uncle to do the same."
"I will,"
Sabrina said as she descended. She hurried down the stairs and into the dark until she found the door. But this one did not have a doorknob. Instead, she found a button. She pushed it and it lit up, but nothing happened. She was considering turning back when the door slid open. She immediately saw her sister and uncle. Sabrina stepped out, realizing she had just gotten out of the elevators on the second level.
"What are you doing here?" Uncle Jake asked.
"Your girlfriend sent me with some help," Sabrina said as she hurried her family to the broken elevator shaft.
There, she took Puck's dirt and placed it in a heap on the floor. She then took Briar's crusty brown seed and buried it in the small pile of earth. Then she stood up and dusted herself off. Before she was finished, a tiny green sprout appeared in the dirt. It grew and grew, becoming plump and fat, until it was as thick as a tree trunk and covered in roses. In no time, it was as tall as Uncle Jake and had pointy thorns sprouting out of its sides.
"My girlfriend is full of secrets," Uncle Jake said as the bush rocketed into the air.
He grabbed Daphne in his arms and reached out for a branch.
"See you at the top, Brina."
A moment later, he was yanked off the ground and sailing skyward as the rose bush grew at an impossible rate. Sabrina grabbed a vine. The strength of the growing bush was incredible. She wondered if her arm might be yanked from the socket, but she held on with all her strength. Sabrina sailed higher and higher and faster until she reached the top of the Eiffel Tower, where the rose bush stopped and the branch eased her gently to the platform. Sabrina stood for a moment, trying to regain her bearings and feeling the building sway in the powerful wind. She didn't like heights, especially heights moving under her feet.
"She's here,"
Daphne cried as she raced across the platform. Goldilocks lay on her back, motionless. Sabrina dashed to her side, with Uncle Jake in tow.
"Is she?"
"She's alive," Uncle Jake said as he knelt to find a pulse. "It looks like she's unconscious."
"But how?"
Sabrina asked. Her answer came in the sound of running feet. Before anyone could react, the menacing motorcyclist had charged across the platform and tackled Uncle Jake. Caught off guard, Jake was helpless and took several brutal punches to the face and stomach. Sabrina watched him try to defend himself, but the Dark Rider was fast and fierce. Sabrina and Daphne rushed to help him, but they were nothing more than mosquitoes to the mysterious villain. He slapped Sabrina with a vicious backhand that sent her tumbling to the floor. When Sabrina righted herself, she realized Daphne was injured as well.
"Uncle Jake!"
Sabrina shouted as she watched the two men circle one another. Jake assured her that everything would be fine, but he never took his eyes off the mysterious man.
"You must think you're pretty tough, hitting women and children," Uncle Jake said to the man.
He replied by lunging with his knife, slashing and striking out. But Sabrina's uncle was fast and leaped away from every deadly attack.
"And the outfit, hiding your face. Then again, if I were slapping people around who couldn't fight back, I'd want to hide my identity too."
"You dare question my honor?"
a muffled voice said from behind the helmet.
"I'm the Black Knight, you fool."
"I thought knights rode horses," Uncle Jake said.
"I upgraded,"
the Black Knight said.
"Who knighted you?"
Uncle Jake said, as he continued to dig into his pockets. "That king must have been pretty hard up for heroes."
"I serve no king,"
the knight growled.
"Only the master and his glorious vision of the future. When ever-afters take their place as rulers of the world, your kind will be in cages serving us."
"Blah, blah, blah," Uncle Jake mocked. "You scarlet hand losers sure do love the whole we're going to rule the world bit. It seems to me the only thing you've got power over is my boredom."
"Hold your tongue, fool, or I will cut it from your mouth."
At that moment, Sabrina's uncle took a small ring from his pocket and slipped it on.
"Well, pal, if you're feeling froggy, take a leap."
The Black Knight dove for Uncle Jake, and the two men toppled over one another. Sabrina watched Jake lock his hand around the knight's wrist, limiting his ability to use his deadly blade. But the knight's other hand was free, and he punched her uncle several times in the jaw. They rolled over each other, kicking and punching along the way. Every time the knight seemed to get the upper hand, Uncle Jake managed to pummel him and gain control. But it never lasted long. The Black Knight was obviously stronger than Uncle Jake and a much better fighter. Sabrina could only watch in horror when the dark villain clenched his free hand around Jake's throat to choke him. Daphne scrambled over once again to lend a hand, but was tossed aside. She fell hard on the floor, but her eyes were still open.
"Leave him alone,"
Sabrina begged, but the knight ignored her. He continued to squeeze, and Jake's face turned blue. In desperation, he raised his hand to the knight's face, and a blast of red, hot energy exploded out of the tiny ring on his pinky finger. It temporarily blinded Sabrina, but when her eyes adjusted, she saw the Black Knight was unfazed.
"My master has given me a special gift, fool," he said. "Your silly magic won't work on me. Sadly, he won't see your death himself. He so wanted to witness it."
Spittle came out of Uncle Jake's mouth, and his eyes started to bulge. The knight was killing him, and there was no one to stop him. No one except for Sabrina. She reached into her pocket, found the kazoo, and aimed it right at the killer. She hoped she could direct its power away from her uncle. Then she blew into it. The wind it produced swirled around the knight like it was a living creature, a bird made of nothingness, circling and howling. It lifted the Black Knight off the floor, and in his effort to stay down, he released Uncle Jake. The wind carried the knight over the edge of the tower, and he sank out of sight. Sabrina heard his fading screams and rushed to the side of the tower. There, trapped in the vines of the magical rosebush, was the knight. It had saved his life, but it wrapped around his arms and legs to prevent him from escaping. Sabrina rushed to Uncle Jake's side and helped him sit up. The man's face was raw and red, and he coughed violently. But when he got to his feet, Sabrina was sure he would be okay. Daphne raced to the fallen Goldilocks and shouted her name until she woke.
"What happened?"
the woman asked. "Don't worry," Sabrina said, hurrying over. "You're safe. The Black Knight is gone."
"It's you,"
she said, her voice higher and more feminine than Sabrina had imagined. She turned to stare at the others until her eyes focused on Jake. She looked startled at first, but then smiled.
"You've come to take me back?"
she said, as if in surrender. Uncle Jake tried to talk, but couldn't. All he could do was shake his head.
"We're not here to force you back to Fairyport Landing. We're here to ask you to come back on your own," Sabrina said. "Who are you?"
Goldilocks asked.
"My name is Sabrina Grimm, and this is my sister Daphne,"
Sabrina said, motioning to the little girl.
"We're Henry Grimm's daughters,"
Daphne added. Goldilocks studied their faces.
"I see a lot of him in you,"
she told Daphne, then looked at Sabrina.
"So, he married that girl, huh? You look just like her."
Sabrina nodded.
Her name is Veronica.
I know,
Goldilocks said as she got to her feet. She turned to Uncle Jake and gave him a hug.
It's good to see you, Jakey.
Uncle Jake nodded and smiled, then pointed at his throat.
The knight tried to choke him to death, Daphne explained. Goldie, you have to come back, Sabrina said. The town is a disaster and my dad... Tell me he's safe,
Goldilocks pleaded. Sabrina could see the woman still felt strongly for her father. She wasn't sure how to react.
He's fine, but he needs you, Daphne said. He's under a sleeping spell. We need someone to kiss him. We were told you were the only one who could do that.
Goldilocks blushed.
A kiss from someone who truly loves him is all he needs. Can't you get your mother to do this?
Sabrina shook her head.
No, she's asleep too. Never a dull moment in Fairyport Landing,
the blonde beauty said.
How did this happen?
The Scarlet Hand did it,
Uncle Jake croaked.
The Scarlet who?
The blonde asked.
They're the bad guys, Daphne said. They kidnapped my parents almost 2 years ago. Now they are running the town. That creepy guy, the Black Knight, he was one of them. He's been chasing me for a month, Goldilocks said. If he is part of the group that kidnapped your parents, they probably don't want anyone to wake them up. Whoever sent him will send others. Come back and we'll protect you, Sabrina said.
Goldilocks looked into Sabrina's face.
Come back to Fairyport Landing?
Sabrina nodded hopefully. Goldilocks shook her head.
I can't do that. Terrible things occurred just to set me free. Your grandfather died because of it. Your grandmother doesn't want to see me, and I'm sure Henry wouldn't want to see me either. He told me to leave him alone. But we can't wake him up without you,
Daphne begged.
Without you, it's impossible.
Goldilocks turned to Uncle Jake.
If I went back, could you set me free again?
Uncle Jake shook his head. Sabrina wasn't surprised. After what had happened the first time he shut down the barrier, she doubted that her uncle would ever attempt it again. She wondered if he would even do it for Briar.
Then, no, Goldilocks said. I won't go back. I'm sorry. I wish I could help. Don't give up hope. You live in Fairyport Landing. Anything is possible there.
She turned, and a moment later she was walking down the steps that led to the second level. Sabrina started to chase after her, but Uncle Jake snatched her arm and pulled her back. He shook his head.
Let her go,
he whispered painfully.
We have to stop her. We can force her to go back with us, Sabrina said. That's not what we do, Daphne said softly.
Sabrina noticed Daphne hadn't looked at her since the Black Knight had been thrown from the building.
But...
Again, Uncle Jake shook his head.
We'll find another way. It's time to go home.